homeopathic weight loss solutions. Will they help you lose weight? And are they worth the money? Find out all this and more on episode number 41 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to show number 41. What is going on this week, Jeff?
Well, not too much. I'm just back into teaching school, like I was saying. One thing about phys ed that I totally forgot about teaching, because it's been quite a while since I've been teaching it, I forgot how whiny girls can be about phys ed. You know, I'm collecting this huge stack of sick notes from parents about girls who have a sore shoulder and a sore finger and they've got a cut and every other excuse, and it's just crazy. I totally forgot. But you know what really happened is I probably repressed this over the last couple of years when I wasn't teaching phys ed, because boy, that can be annoying. You know, just excuse after excuse. Were you ever like that when you were in phys ed, when you were a young girl?
Oh, thank you. No, but you know, it's funny. I talked about the 100 push-up challenge last show. My wife and I have been trying to get an exercise that we can do together. I thought, no matter how many push-up you can do this 100 push-up challenge, right? It's from like, you know, 0 to 5 push-ups. You start in the beginning. Well, she confided in me, and then I proceeded to share this over on the forums to the whole internet, that she has never been able to do a push-up or a pull-up for that matter, and that her junior high school coach, the PE teacher, would call her stud just because of her lack of ability to do the push-up. So, yeah, she was barely, I don't think she even did one. She kind of got about halfway down and then kind of gave up and laid down. So, no, I know in junior high school, we had the physical fitness challenge, the presidential fitness challenge, and I remember doing push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, and all those things, and, you know, could do a lot of those things back in junior high.
Well, Russ, if your wife listened to the show, I'm sure you'd be kind of in the doghouse for telling everyone about her push-up abilities.
Well, luckily, I don't think she can hear me right now. I've kicked her out of the room. Well, and I don't think she actually never listened to one of the podcasts. I don't think she's maybe listened to half of one. I think some of her friends have actually listened to a few shows, so she's still podcast challenge at this point. So I think I'm safe.
So how was your weight loss this week?
Oh, thank you for asking, because I am down a whopping 0.4 pounds, 256.4. So, you know, it's within the margin of error, I believe. So not too much happened on the weight loss front this week.
So you're just right below hitting 40 pounds.
I am so 41. Close.
So you're just barely over a pound off from losing the same amount of weight for the show number.
Oh, man, I got to get there. I'll get there soon. But why don't we get into our email and comments for this week?
All right. And the first email comes from Jim, and he writes, "Hi, guys. Love your show, your casual and honest approach to weight loss. I'm writing in response to comments you made about eating processed meals in episode 28. I agree with what you said about making processed meals like Lean Cuisine and Jenny Craig your main diet. I recently joined the Light and Easy food program in an effort to lose weight. All meals and snacks were prescribed to limit me to 1,500 calories. It was a struggle to get started, and I was used to eating whatever I wanted.
I didn't realize how much sodium was involved. Unfortunately, after 2 months, this complicated my blood pressure and cholesterol, which was part of my motivation for losing weight. But it did teach me to eat less and that I could control what I eat. After coming off that program, I was able to translate that to my own diet with lots of fruits and vegetables. Thanks from Down Under, from Jim."
Now, what we said in that earlier show, we said that calorie restriction works, and sometimes it can be easy to go on these programs where they provide you with processed meals, lots of frozen dinners or prepackaged meals, because the calories are all laid out. But there's some definite downsides to this, and one of them is the sodium content. Any processing of food really bleaches out the flavor, and what manufacturers do is they add a lot of salt. That's very common in everything that's processed.
Yeah, we've talked about many times that model the behavior, the diet of a fit person. And like I said, you don't see a lot of fit people eating Jenny Craig foods. And, you know, you don't see them eating a lot of processed foods. And in these things, you get these packaged foods. You're not going to be eating those for the rest of your life. It just doesn't make sense. So, you know, like Jim did here, he said, okay, I'm going to get 1,500 calories a day with this program. And it kind of taught his body to be used to that number of calories. Okay, and he's off of it and he's on his own food, which is much, much better. And in addition, instead of eating even like the Lean Cuisine that you can get in the grocery stores, Jim, you should be eating real food. Get your meat and your vegetables and your produce, everything that's not in a box or in a jar.
That's right. I think it's very common for people who go on a program like Jenny Craig or Nutrisystem, when they realize that it's quite expensive, when they come off it, I think it's really common for a lot of people just to go to the grocery store and buy a whole ton of frozen dinners because that's what they're used to, and it's a lot less expensive in a lot of cases, and they can control the calories. I think when people realize that making food that's whole food and real food, you get to eat so much more for the same amount of calories. And I guess the last point here, all of these food products, all of these TV dinners, they all have all of their calories and proteins and fat and all of their nutritional information on the side. But did you know the best foods, they don't have any nutritional information because they're just the natural foods. If anything has ingredients on the side, it's not natural. That's kind of the bottom line.
All right. I want to thank Jim for his email this week. And if you'd like to get a hold of us to make a comment or ask a question, there's a couple ways you can do that. The first one is to leave a comment on the website at fat2fitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
Third way is to leave a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button over on the right side of the website, fattofitradio.com.
And you can always join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, and let's get into a couple news items here on this week's web report.
What I have this week, I have four different items. What I was doing this week is I was searching through PubMed, and what PubMed has is all of the studies that have been coming out, and they are indexed on this site where you can look at the studies that are going out into the various journals. Now, it's not for the people who really want an easy read. Some of these studies are just crazy, but I did some searches, and I found some ones that I could read quite easily. And the thing that really surprised me, we talk about different individual studies, but in reality, they might be interesting, but it's not until you have a whole bunch of studies that test the same things and there's replication that you can actually prove an effect and have a result from a study. And the thing about the things that I was looking at, a lot of these were just really super common sense. And I was thinking, why are they doing studies when we all know this? It's common sense. But really, that's kind of the process of science where they retest and replicate to make sure that these are true facts and, you know, these can be testable and repeatable. So the first study that I have, it's really obvious. Obesity status and sick leave, a systematic review. They did a meta study, meaning that they studied 36 other studies that looked into, you know, sick leave and obesity. And this is not going to be surprising to anyone, but in the U.S., obese workers had about 1 to 3 extra days of absence per year compared to their normal weight counterparts. In all of the European studies, the corresponding difference was about 10 days. The conclusion of the study, increasing obesity in children and adults is likely to negatively affect future production as obesity increases the risk of sick leave, disability pension, and death. Now, we all know this is obvious, especially from the last show when we talked about death and diseases caused by obesity. And here's my next one. Drinking water is associated with weight loss in overweight dieting women independent of diet and activity. So this one was interesting. It was a short-term experiment, and it suggested that drinking water may promote weight loss by lowering the total energy intake or altering the metabolism somehow. Now, the bottom line results. Absolute and relative increases in drinking water. So if you drink more than average, that was associated with significant loss of body weight and fat over time, independent of what they were eating. And this reminds me of years ago, people used to say, when you're losing weight, drink a lot of water because somehow that fat has to get flushed out of your system. So maybe there is something to that. My third one, benefits of high protein weight loss diets. Enough evidence for practice? So they were studying all of the high-protein diets, and what they summarized at the very end, that diets moderately increased in protein and modestly restricted in carbohydrate and fat, particularly saturated fat, may have beneficial effects on body weight, body composition, and associated metabolic parameters. So that just means eating a little bit more protein does not hurt you and it helps with weight loss. And all of the studies that have been coming out in the last 10, 15 years, they've all been pointing to that as well. And my last one here was treatment modalities of obesity. Now, this is written for healthcare providers, you know, doctors, etc. And it says, Both healthcare providers and patients should know that the obesity treatment is a lifelong task. Now, anyone who's been on a diet many times, we all know this. And it says essential treatment of obesity includes low-calorie, low-fat diets, increased physical activity, and strategies contributing to the modification of lifestyle. So this is a study that came up with the things that we've been talking about this show. Eat a little bit less, exercise a little bit more. It's so obvious. The one last thing about this study, they said that short-term weight loss up to 6 months is usually easily achieved. Well, I don't know how easily that really is. However, the long-term weight management is often associated with lack of compliance, failures, and a high dropout rate. So they're saying if you're not changing your lifestyle and you're not sticking with eating a little bit less and exercising, the weight comes back. So now we have studies out there in PubMed right now that are really telling you everything that we've been telling you all along. Now they're just doing study after study that's hopefully backing this up, and this can be mainstream, hopefully, in the future.
I really like the idea of a meta study. You should study other studies. That's pretty cool. But you know, that first one, the obesity and sick leave, I can't help but think that that might be sponsored by, say, the insurance companies or somebody like that saying, hey, you know what, we've talked about in the past where these insurance companies want to charge you more if you are overweight. And I could see this study being used in that kind of, in that way by the insurance company saying, hey, look, you know, if you're overweight, you're going to cost us more money by being out more often. So you're going to need to pay a little more for your health insurance.
Well, that's true. Also about smokers. Smokers, I know, have a lot more sick days than the average person as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, my article here that I have goes along with your third one as far as being a high protein diet. It is from the Daily Herald. And it's a study done, funny enough, by the American Egg Board. And they studied two groups of individuals. One group ate for breakfast a 3.5-inch bagel with an ounce of cream cheese and 3 ounces of non-fat yogurt. And the second group ate jumbo eggs, two jumbo eggs actually, and two slices of toast with a reduced calorie jam. And this study was recently published in the International Journal of Obesity. And by the way, I'd like to get a copy of that and see what kind of studies they're putting out here. This is interesting. But the study participants, on average, on the two different breakfasts, the ones who ate the egg breakfast lost 65% more weight than those who ate the bagel breakfast. And these are both groups were on a calorie-restricted diet. So they were actually eating the same number of calories, but the only difference was two eggs versus a bagel for breakfast. Also, 35% greater reduction in waist circumference and a 16% greater reduction in body fat just by eating the egg breakfast. The study being sponsored by the American Egg Board, you know, they obviously have an agenda. They want you to eat more eggs. And you often hear about, you know, if you eat too many eggs, your cholesterol goes up, your triglycerides go up. So they studied this in this study as well. And this study showed here that no difference in any of those factors between eating an egg breakfast or a bagel breakfast. So the fact that these people ate two eggs a day did not increase their cholesterol or their triglycerides. So if you like eggs, it's a good deal here. And also interesting, the two breakfasts, you know, while one was a little higher in protein and the other a little higher in carbs, there was not a really, really huge difference. Protein, 12.6 and 16.6. So a little more protein in the egg diet. I think that has to do with the success of the people eating the egg diet, losing more weight. That egg has more protein and fat, and those things take longer to break down in your bloodstream.
That's right. The protein, you actually don't get to digest all the calories when you eat protein because it takes energy just to digest it. A lot of the simple carbohydrates, you know, if you think of sugar, that just goes straight into the bloodstream. See, when you eat something, your body has to convert what you're eating into glucose, which then goes into your blood. And if you eat too much, that glucose goes into fat. And if you manage to eat just the right amount of calories throughout the day, all of that glucose in your blood just is enough to fuel your body throughout the day and you maintain your weight.
Yeah, and actually in this article, check it out because it actually gives the recipe for this egg sandwich, basically what it is. Take two pieces of toast with a couple of eggs and create a egg sandwich. So if you want to try out this study, there's an easy way to do it. So click on that link over in the show notes.
So it's that time to move into the feature section of the show.
Yeah, and this week we are going to talk about what are the best homeopathic weight loss remedies.
Now, the other day, in the weight loss section of a pharmacy, I was just looking around to see all the supplements, etc., and I noticed that they have some new homeopathic weight loss products at the store. Now, I did some research on, some statistics and stuff, and according to a 2007 survey, 3% of Americans have used knowingly or even unknowingly homeopathic remedies. And I understand that in Europe, homeopathy is quite popular, and the royal family in Britain are strong proponents of it. But its popularity has been decreasing year after year since, the millennium. But before I give a review of those products, I'm going to explain scientifically how they work. I know a lot about them, and the theory of how they work is really a favorite for science and math teachers, and you're going to see why in a second. Now, the way that we're going to do this section is simply in a question and answer format. So this topic's a little new to Russ, so I gave him some sample questions that people might ask about homeopathy, and I'm just going to answer them just, kind of in a give and take.
In other words, I get off easy this week. So the first question, what is homeopathy?
Homeopathy is a theory that a substance that makes you sick can cure you if it's diluted enough. So like cures like. So for example, if you have nausea and you're throwing up, you would find something that would make you throw up if you ate it. Then what you do is you take this substance, whatever it is, and you dilute it in water through a series of steps, diluting it more and more and more so that it's not strong enough to make you sick. Then you drink it and that will cure you.
Very nice. So what's the history of homeopathy?
Well, it's been around for a long time. It started over 200 years ago by a German doctor called Samuel Hahnemann. And you got to think, 200 years ago, this was back when modern medicine was still in its very medieval practices. One of the most common treatments, if you were sick, was bloodletting. And they would literally cut you open and bleed you out so that, the sickness would come out of your blood. They had no idea how sicknesses worked. And of course, nowadays, we obviously know that this treatment harms you, and it would most likely be more dangerous than the sickness that you had. You got to think, you're getting bled out. You're going to get weaker and sicker. And keep in mind, this theory came out before the germ theory of disease. This is when people didn't know to wash their hands when doing surgery. Nothing like that was known. Bacteria was unknown. Viruses were unknown. Sicknesses were thought to be caused by evil spirits and stuff like that. So compared to modern medicine treatments of the time, homeopathy was very safe. It didn't harm anyone. The solutions were so diluted that there was no chance that a person could actually become sick from whatever ingredient they were diluting. So you got to think, am I going to take a really diluted drink or am I going to be bled out? Those are your two choices. That's why homeopathy was so popular 200 years ago.
So how can you tell if something is homeopathic?
This is a real concern for most people because you may not know that you're purchasing a homeopathic remedy. Up here in Canada, we are having commercials right now for a product called Head On, and it looks like a little bingo blotter. And what you do is if you have a headache, you blot this on your forehead and it's supposed to cure your headache. The problem is I have seen this product right beside the Advil and the Tylenol mixed in. So people are looking at medicines that have been proven to work and they're saying, well, let's try this homeopathic remedy because the box says it's extra strength and it works really fast. So this is how you can tell if a product in the pharmacy or health food store is homeopathic. And how you do that is you look at the ingredients. You look for X's or C's. So you're going to see a number like 24X or 30C after the list of ingredients. And that is oftentimes the only way that you can tell them from other products. It's more common in North America to see X's, and in Europe you're going to see C's. So you'll see a list of ingredients, and then it will say 24X or 30C. So that's what you'll be looking for. Now, the higher the number, the more diluted the product is. Now, this really doesn't make sense to most people, but in homeopathic theory, the more diluted a product is, the stronger the remedy is. So if you dilute it more, it's stronger. Yeah, it doesn't make quite a lot of sense in today's society.
So since homeopathy has been around for about 200 years, it must really be good.
Well, the answer is no, and there's some simple reasons. See, the theory breaks down when it starts breaking a whole bunch of laws of physics and a whole bunch of laws of chemistry. Now, this is what science and math teachers like to show their students when they're doing proofs of how this cannot work. So in almost all of the solutions, it is pretty much impossible that a single molecule or even a single atom of the active ingredient is still in the product.
So how strong are these homeopathic cures?
Well, this is where it gets a little confusing because we're going to talk about big numbers. But I'll give you some examples. The allowable amount of arsenic in drinking water in the U.S., because you know you take arsenic, it kills you, you can have one part per 100 billion. Now, when we compare that to homeopathic numbers, that's equivalent to 4C in Europe or 8X in North America. And this is a number one with eight zeros after it. So one part per 100 billion. Now at 24X or 12C, which is what you start to see some of the homeopathic remedies, you have one part in 1 times 10 to the 24th power. That means it has 24 zeros after the one. Now, this is the level where it is almost impossible to have any remaining atoms. And if anyone took high school chemistry and remembers Avogadro's number, that was a number that was, you know, 6 point something times 10 to the 23rd. That in chemistry is the number with which you cannot break down anything any smaller. That's down to the atom size. So homeopathic remedy is actually a little bit greater than that. But here's the kicker. The recommended dilution for homeopathic remedies are at 60x or 30C, which is what you see on most of their products. So that means that you will have one drop in 1 times 10 to the 60th power. There's 60 zeros after that number. That's how long that one drop in something, you know, with 60 zeros after it. So that's kind of the strongest solution. Remember I said the more dilute a solution is, the stronger the medicine. And this is where in math, we love to do this demonstration, you know, in math 30, you know, the grade 12 math, where we'll prove at a 30C dilution, so the recommended dose, to get a single molecule of the dissolved substance, how much water would you need to put it in? So would you get one molecule in an Olympic-sized swimming pool? Well, no. Would you get one molecule in a small lake? No. Would you get one molecule in the entire ocean? No. So to get a single molecule of the active ingredient, you would need to get not just the volume of the entire Earth filled up with water, but the Earth would need to be 30 trillion times bigger than what it is to get one molecule of the active ingredient. So this is a body of water larger than our entire solar system to get enough atoms together to form one molecule of the active ingredient listed in the ingredients on the side of this product. This is something that you can look up on Wikipedia. You can just search homeopathy. But when you look at the math and the science, it is absolutely ridiculous.
So if that's a fact, then why do people believe it?
You know, that's something that really amazes me. Number one, I think it has to do with education. People who didn't take this in science, didn't learn about stuff like this in math, and haven't applied it to the real world. And this isn't science-based medicine. It's one of the alternative medicines. Now, people who believe in homeopathy, they now know that chemistry has proven that you can't have dilutions like this. So what they did in about the last 100 years, they changed the theory to that of water memory. So that means that even though they now admit, yes, there's no actual active ingredient inside there anymore, it's based on the vibrations of the original substance. So proponents of homeopathy now believe that even though it has been proven that nothing remains of the original medicinal ingredients, the water will always have the vibrations of the active ingredient that you meant to have in it in the first place. So I don't know. What do you think, Russ?
You know, I've never heard of that, and it sounds like science fiction to me. Well, is there any proof that it works? Even now that this water memory, is there any proof that it works?
Well, believe it or not, it works 100% of the time on what is known as self-limiting sicknesses. So these are the illnesses that you get better naturally over time without doing anything. There is a placebo effect with homeopathy, like every single drug out there. Some people will have an effect from their own bodies because they believe in it, but the independent double-blind studies have shown no benefit higher than the placebo effect. But keep in mind, there are actually homeopathic hospitals that exist in the world today. There are some in Scotland, I know that for a fact. So there must be hundreds and thousands of people who still believe in this.
So with all that information, which homeopathic weight loss pills would you recommend?
Well, you can probably guess. It doesn't matter which medicine that you see on the shelf. It doesn't matter what the active ingredients are. It doesn't matter what the, if it's 30C or 24C or 12X, whatever those numbers are, you have more of a chance of getting hit by lightning several times in the same day as you do of actually getting any medicine or active ingredients in the products. And you remember, Russ, shows ago when we talked about supplements and we were suggesting which supplements people should take?
Sure, I remember that we concluded that they just weren't worth the money.
That's right. Those supplements, they do have real active ingredients. They have caffeine and all of these other herbs that, yes, they have an impact on your system. I mean, when you take an energy pill or an energy drink, you're going to feel that caffeine rush and you might get a little shaky in your hands and you might sweat a little bit. And yes, that's having an impact on your body. And we decided that maybe that impact is only about the equivalent of walking up a couple flights of stairs and it's not worth the money. So when we're talking about homeopathic weight loss pills and remedies, if we can't even prove any active ingredient that will make a difference on your body, of course we can't recommend them at all.
So I've had many people in the past that have said to me, you know, these homeopathic cures are great, you got to try these. And I think it's important that we bring this topic up.
That's right. Especially now when you go to the drugstore and they're mixing in the science-based remedies with homeopathic remedies, people just don't know that there's a huge difference between them. And I really feel bad for those people that are looking for that, just that little extra boost, and they happen to choose the wrong product beside the, you know, not so great diet supplement, but it's a supplement that does absolutely nothing. And I feel bad for people who aren't aware of this. And I just don't want anyone to get sucked into this. You know, obvious diet scams are out there and people can spot them a mile away. But if a product gets mixed in with things that people know are scientifically based, you know, that really makes me worry.
All right. So I hope everybody found that topic interesting. I sure did. And I'm going to take a look at some products that I have here in the house. And, you know, particularly if they say homeopathic, I'm going to look for that for those telltale signs, that C or the X here in the U.S. So, thanks for all the work on that.
Well, no problem. I'll leave a whole bunch of links in the show notes. So if you think this is just a little too crazy to be true, I'll leave you the links and you can look up the science yourself. All right, Russ. Well, let's move on to something real and tangible. How about the recipe of the week?
All right. Well, you know, we're going to return to basics here. And this one is over at foodfit.com. And I just found this today and it looks like a really great site. This recipe is called grilled chicken with tomato avocado salsa. And, you know, we talked about having protein as part of a weight loss program. And chicken is particularly chicken breast is a great way to get that low fat protein in your diet. So this one has tomatoes and red onion, chili peppers and cilantro, fresh lime and avocado. And man, it just looks really great. So check it out. It's only 283 calories for a serving of this, and it has 6 grams of fat, 43 grams of protein, and only 16 grams of carb for a serving. So great in all facets of your diet. So take a look at that. It'll be in the show notes.
That sounds really good because I'm guilty of having always the exact same spices on my chicken every single day.
Yep, this one's a little, maybe a little Mexican flavor to it too, which you know I'm always in favor of. What I'm also in favor of is homework. What do we have for homework this week, Jeff?
Well, you were talking about going back to basics, so the homework is a very simple thing too as well. So the challenge this week is when you're going out to work, you're going to the mall or the shopping center, park as far away as you can within the parking lot. We all hear these things of little tiny things you can do to help with your weight loss. Well, here's something specific. If you're not doing, give it a shot. You know, for 1 week, try parking really far away and see, does it make a big difference in your day? You know, it gives you a little bit of extra walking.
Sounds good. And do we have a quote?
Yes, this week's quote comes from Dale E. Turner. Instead of thinking about where you are, think about where you want to be. It takes 20 years of hard work to become an overnight success.
All right, that was a great quote. Well, thank you, Jeff, again, for all your work on that homeopathic weight loss remedy section for the feature this week. And I hope everybody enjoyed that. And thank you all for downloading and for listening. We will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.